We've got to overcome in the mind realm, because all creation waits for this manifestation. And it says all, it means all creation, including Judas, including Abraham, including Adam, and including Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. What time would fail me to tell of all these wonderful men of faith who, through faith, did wonderful works of faith? And these all, A-double-L, having obtained a good report, through faith, received not the promise. God, having provided some better thing for us, you and me, that they, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, Adam, Cain, Abel, all the rest of them, without us cannot be made perfect. But Jesus already came and took them to heaven. But that's not God's goal, to get the people to heaven. God's goal is to bring heaven to earth. Now you've got to see it. In the church realm, we taught the goal of God is to all, you know, when we all get to heaven. But according to the Bible, the end of God's goal is to bring heaven to earth. And this cloud of witnesses, those are departed Christians and saints and so forth, must wait for our perfection so that they can become perfect. Because they, without us, cannot be made perfect. Wherefore, seeing we, the ones that are alive, are surrounded by that great cloud of witnesses. The word cloud of witnesses in the Greek is stadium of spectators. Let us run the race. Or can I say, play the game. Don't drop the ball. Because when we make the touchdown, they get the point. When we win the game, they win the game. We're all on the same team, and we're not going to be one. We're not going to be perfect. There'll be no resurrection, no rapture, until you become perfect in your spirit and your soul and your body. So the first point that we wanted to get at is that you've got to get the overcoming attitude and be victorious during the tribulation and go through it so all creation, all departed saints, can enter perfection. That's a very unselfish reason, isn't it? In other words, you are manifest even for the perfection of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And they're cheering us on so that they themselves can become perfect. The next point I want to bring out is the second column. And this has to do with the fact that going through the tribulation, we've got to keep the Feast of Tabernacles. Now, Moses said, three times must every person appear before me in the place that I've chosen. Passover, say the next one, Pentecost, and Tabernacles. Wait a minute, I'll get another chart out. Moses said, at Passover, you've got to appear before me. At Pentecost, you have to appear before me. At Tabernacles, you have to appear before me. Three times must every person appear before me in the place that I've chosen. The church had Passover, and what's the name of the Lamb of God? Say it. Jesus Christ. He entered my heart spirit during the Passover feast. Do you remember that in John chapter 13, verse 1, Jesus said he realized that when Passover had come, his time had come. Remember that? His time had come. Now, his time did not come before Passover or after Passover. His time came, was up. The jig was up when? Passover. How many times before do you remember he kept saying, you can't touch me because my what? My time is not yet come. He knew who he was. He knew he was the Lamb. And what do you do with the Lamb at Passover? You know. And the Lamb of God was slain at just like it should have been, just like all of, you know, the cycles indicated. Now, in Acts chapter 2, verse 1, the Bible says, and when the day of Pentecost had fully come, all in one place, one accord, then the Holy Spirit, you remember all this, sign of a rushing mighty wind, cloven tongues of fire, and they all began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. What, the day before Pentecost? The day after Pentecost? When? right, on the day of Pentecost. Because the Holy Spirit's time was during, say it, Pentecost. Now, according to our understanding, the church has had two feasts. Would you agree that the church has had her Passover and Jesus has come and gone? Would you agree that we're in the Pentecostal dispensation at the moment? Would you also agree we're about the end and we're ready for the third experience? Now, at the Feast of Tabernacles, we enter all the way, and the glory of God the Father inhabits our physical bodies. I will do that again. At Passover, Jesus entered my spirit, and I was saved in the heart spirit. At Pentecost, the Holy Ghost entered my soul, and I began to be saved in the soul realm. This is continuing at a regular rate, or present progressive tense. All the verbs that have to do with the salvation of Pentecost are present progressive. All the verbs that have to do with the salvation Jesus brought are past. But there is also a future tense salvation as well. And knowing the time that now it is high time to awake out of sleep, for now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. Well, how can that be? That's impossible. I was saved when I believed. That must be talking about another salvation. You understand? Now, that third salvation takes place at the Feast of Tabernacles, when the glory of God the Father enters our physical bodies. Then we'll be perfect, not only in spirit, not only in soul, but also in... But the glory of the Father will not enter a physical body until the head's screwed on right. So that's why we're receiving with meekness the engrafted Word, which is able to save your soul, even though we've already got Jesus in our hearts. Now the Holy Ghost is changing our soul and mind and changing us to where we ought to be. We keep the Feast of Tabernacles, so our bodies, physical bodies, the third part of man, the third part of that Trinity, can be saved or redeemed, because we must be alive at the end of the tribulation in physical body, because somebody's got to be around to rule and reign for 1,000 years. And Jesus said, to him that overcometh, will I grant to sit with me in my throne. Even if I have overcome and am sitting in my Father's throne. Jesus overcame the last enemy, which was death, and sits in the Father's throne. Those who overcome the last enemy, which is, will sit in the Father's throne. That's why I'm not even a Trinitarian. Because there are going to be four parts of the Godhead. Jesus Christ, Holy Ghost, God the Father, and the body of Christ, which will overcome and sit even in the Father's throne. Now, if you sit in the Father's throne, would you agree that's part of the Godhead? Now, does the Bible say that somebody's going to do it? Well, then why not you? Nobody's got a better chance. How about it? Hang in there. Don't give up. Hold on. Hang in there loose. Because you are going to overcome the last enemy, which is, then you will receive this rod of iron, be a manifest Son of God, and rule and reign with Christ for 1,000 years. But you're not going to do it until you overcome in all three areas. Now, those that come back from heaven in this cloud of witnesses will not... Now, I'm going to reemphasize this again, because I know I'm really getting going against an awful lot of quartets. Those will not have natural physical bodies. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Let's read it together, because I got some eyeballs. I'm in 39 right now. 15:39, about the kind of bodies that the departed saints have when they come back. Now, how many already know that we'll know Grandma when we'll see her? You're going to know her. You're going to understand her. Your departed loved ones, you'll know them. You'll recognize them. But the question is, with what body do they come? Verse 36, verse 35, but some men will say, excuse me, how are the dead raised, and with what body do they come? We will not read the next two words. That which thou sowest is not quickened except it die, and that which thou sowest not the body that shall be, but it bear green. Now, when I sowed my father's body about 3 years ago, I sowed not the body that shall be. Thou sowest not the body that shall be. I was in New Palestine Cemetery, New Cumberland, Indiana, and I sowed a body to the earth. I planted a physical body to the earth. And when I planted that physical body, I sowed not the body that shall be. Is that what the Bible says? But bear green, or chance of wheat, some other green. But God giveth a body as pleased to him to ever seed his own body. Now listen, all flesh is not the same flesh. One kind of flesh of men, another flesh of beasts, another fishes and birds. There are also celestial bodies and bodies terrestrial. There are two kinds of bodies. There are two kinds of bodies. The glory of the celestial one, the glory of the terrestrial is the other. There are two kinds of glory, at least. One glory of the sun, another glory of the moon, another glory of the stars. For one star differeth from another star in glory. So also is the resurrection, that's anesthesia, of the dead. It's sown in corruption, it's raised in incorruption. Sown in dishonor, it's raised in glory. Sown in weakness, raised in power. It's sown a, what did I plant? But it's raised a, there is a natural body and there is a spiritual body. There is a difference, and there is a difference in glory. And the amount of soul salvation that you achieve here, assuming that you might have to die, will determine the amount of glory that you're going to have over there and back here. Not that you will get to heaven. That's already settled because of the cross of Christ. He did it. It's done. It's finished. And he paid the purchase price, the most precious price that's ever been paid for anything, the salvation not of my soul but of my spirit. Now, I know that you've taught of a salvation soul. How many went to church and they said three souls were saved last night? Chapter and verse. Give me a chapter and verse that souls were saved. Isn't there? Spirits were saved, souls are being saved, bodies are going to be saved. Now, you'd think in a congregation this large, if anybody knew of a scripture that souls were saved, they'd find it. But it's not there. It's tradition. Souls are being saved. Spirits were. Now, you're working out the salvation of your soul so that if you die, you get a certain amount of glory according to the amount of attitude changes, not the amount of scriptures that you've memorized. And by the way, God is not keeping track of how many tracts you hand out. And I thought for a long time it depended on how many doorbells I rang or how many people I invited to church. Come on now, how many have had, you know, had that kind of training? We all have. But it's not so. It doesn't work that way. It has to do with our attitude changes. And Peter said, if you'll add to your faith virtue, to your virtue knowledge, knowledge temperance, temperance patience, patience godliness, to your godliness phileo love, and to phileo love agape love, you'll never fail, fall, or die. But Peter died. And there's nothing in the Bible that says Peter was an agape lover. Now, Peter had the keys to the kingdom and he understood what to do, but Peter himself could not enter agape love. That didn't go over too well, so let's look to John for a minute for that point. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. And we'll go to the last chapter. will be reading with the Greek words because that's the clue, not phileo love, but agape love. I mean, in the last chapter, John 21, verse 15. So when they had dined, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, agape thou me more than these. And he said unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I phileo thee. See, you don't catch that in your King James because all it says is love. You love me? And he said, you know I love you. But that's not what he said. He said, you agape me? And he said, you know I phileo you. And he said unto him, feed my lambs. He said unto him again the second time, Simon, son of Jonas, agape thou me? And he said unto him, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I phileo you. He said, feed my sheep. Then he said unto him the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, phileo thou me? And Peter was grieved because he said unto him the third time, phileo. How does that make more sense than it has in time? If you know the difference between phileo and agape. Now what we're saying here is that Peter could not agape. Peter was a phileo lover, and Jesus knew it, and Peter knew it. According to the Bible, John turned into an agape lover, but Peter didn't. Now, I'm watching. I may have some Roman Catholics here that are mad at me about this one, but let's watch and see. Peter had to die and was crucified upside down because he could not mount the last step, the step of agape love. And he tells him right here in the next verses, Pete, you're going to be taken where you would not because you can't agape. Can you see it? You get the point here. What we're trying to say is agape lovers don't die. Now, years ago, when I was on a submarine, they taught me to fight. And I was a fighter. And a bunch of submariners went into the tavern and threw back the bar doors and said, stand back. I'm rough and I'm tough and I'm a submarine sailor. Well, there were six Marines in there, and when they carried us back, we found out it's better to be a lover than a fighter. And over the years, my experience has taught me that lovers always win and fighters always lose. How many have had a similar experience? So I would rather live and love. I want to live and I want to love. And I'm going to be a loving liver. Living lover? Well, whichever it is, I want to live and love, don't you? And we want to overcome the last enemy, which is... And Peter knew he couldn't. But Peter did say, there is reserved in heaven an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled that fadeth not away, a salvation or deliverance ready to be revealed in the last days. So in the end of one age, in the beginning of another age, there will be, coming from heaven, a further revelation of a further salvation that's going to take place in the last days. How many believe these are the last days? Then how many believe that we're hearing preaching tonight on a further revelation of a further salvation that's going to occur in the last days? Now, where there is no vision, the people perish. But faith cometh by and hearing by the... And how shall they hear without a... But no one preached to my father what Romans chapter 2, verse 7 says. No one told my daddy, seek glory, seek honor, and seek immortality. Because he was born to a generation that was born to die. But we're born to a generation that's born to live. Now, when we live, we bring my daddy and his daddy, first Paul Ebaugh, then Jesse Ebaugh, Harold Ebaugh, all the way back to Adam Ebaugh. Oh, didn't you know I'm a direct descendant? Oh, you are too? Brother. And back to Adam Ebaugh, and they're all going to be brought into perfection when you enter perfection. They didn't know that there would be perfection of the spirit and the soul and the... It was in the Bible all the time, but nobody preached it because the Holy Spirit hadn't quickened it. You cannot find commentaries before 1948. No Bible teacher or preacher preached on overcoming the last enemy, which is death, because it wasn't an anointed message. You see it? But Peter said it would be anointed. The Holy Spirit would shine the light of revelation on it. In the which days? Last days. We believe that these are the last days. We believe that we are increasing our faith and actually seeking glory, seeking honor, and seeking immortality, because these are the last days, and we hold the potential and possibility of actually entering in that time. When we do it, we bring all the cloud of witnesses into perfection, and we then set ourselves up as candidates waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God, when the glory of the Father will be in their physical bodies, and they'll be given thrones to sit on and rule and reign over the kingdoms of this earth. Some people are praying for Jesus to come back tonight. Now, if Jesus comes back tonight with our minds the way they are, and our selfish attitudes and strange ways of reasoning, would you admit with me that we would all be dangerous? If I was a manifest Son of God, hallelujah, sitting on my golden throne, having a couple angels to hold my heavy crown. Oh, it's hard to be humble. The first thing I would do is turn over here and look at Gabe and say, Gabe, go on out and fetch me 40 bolts of lightning. I don't know whether you... Gabe, you know who that is? Gabriel. And I sent old Gabe out and I said, go get me 40 bolts of lightning. I want to throw some lightning bolts at some preachers been disagreeing with me. Now, so would you. Come on. May not be a preacher, but somebody... You got some scores to settle. Come on. And that's the reason you're not manifest. Do you understand that? As long as you've still got the idea and attitude that you've got some scores to settle, he can't trust you with the glory in your body. He can't trust you with a throne. He can't trust you with a rod of iron. So he's got to move you from paideon, pais, technon, helios, till you grow up, and then he can trust you with these marvelous and mighty powers. Am I making sense to you in this realm? So, we must keep the Feast of Tabernacles. We must have our bodies saved. We must be alive at the end of the tribulation so we can live the 1,000 years and this time in peace. And I like that column, don't you? For that has a lot to do with selfish, you know, after all. You know, I'm still here and it's hard to be humble and think about the glory. And we all with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. The third column has to do with Israel and the salvation of the rest of the world. This salvation is in the body realm as well. We must become many saviors, plural. Obadiah 21, many saviors, plural, shall come from Mount Zion to judge the Mount of Esau. A plurality of saviors is not normally taught in Sunday school, is it? We talk about one Savior, his name is Jesus Christ. But the Bible says there's only one begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. His name is Jesus Christ. But the same Bible says he is wise who saves a soul. many saviors, plural, shall come from Mount Zion. And there is a plurality of saviors. But you cannot save a spirit. Are you hearing me? For God is a... They that worship Him must worship Him in... And no one here can save a spirit, but you sure can save a... By bringing the engrafted word to the soul mind and changing minds, changing attitudes, and saving souls. It's also possible to save bodies. But you're not going to save bodies until you get souls saved. And it's your own soul that has to be saved. We must learn to give mercy. And after we learn to give mercy and grant mercy, the Bible says, then all Israel and Judah shall be saved. Well, it says must here, but the Bible's talking about shall. It's going to be saved. They must be saved in order that the prophecy is fulfilled. And you know something? It doesn't say that Israel and Judah are going to be saved by the cross of Christ. No, sir, it does not. It says, all Israel shall be saved by your mercy. Let's go back and read it together. I'm in Romans, and I'll read a lot here in Romans chapter 11. I'll start with verse 16 and probably read the whole chapter, so stick with me and get the meaning of each verse. In Jesus' name, you're going to understand this. For if the first fruit be holy, the lump is also holy. And if the root be holy, so are the branches. I am the vine. Who are the branches? Who? Ye are the branches. If the root is holy, are the branches holy? Then don't find fault with me. God said it. I didn't make it up. But you see, when you find fault with me, you're not finding fault with my spirit. You're finding fault with my... Or... But as I get my head screwed on right, finally you won't find anything to find fault with in my soul, and hopefully you won't in my body. And if some of the branches be broken off, and thou, being a wild olive tree, were grafted in among them, and with them partakest of the root and the fatness of the olive tree, boast not against the branches, but if thou boast, thou bearest not the root, but the root thee. Thou wilt say then, the branches were broken off, that I might be grafted in. Well, because of unbelief they were broken off, and thou standest by faith. Be not high-minded, but fear, for if God spared not the natural branches, take heed lest he also spare not thee. Behold, therefore, the goodness and severity of God. On them which fell, severity, but toward thee, goodness. If thou continue in his goodness, otherwise thou shalt also be cut off. And they also, if they abide not still in unbelief, shall be grafted in again, for God is able to graft them in again. For if thou wert cut off out of the olive tree, which is wild by nature, and wert grafted contrary to nature into good olive tree, how much more shall these, which be natural branches, be grafted into their own olive tree? For I would not, brethren, that ye should be ignorant of this mystery, lest ye should be wise in your own conceits, that blindness in part has happened to Israel, until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in. And so, all Israel shall be saved. As it is written, there shall come out of Zion the deliverer, and shall turn away the ungodliness from Jacob. This was future tense, written after Jesus had come and gone. Come on. This is future tense after Jesus had come and gone, and still there's going to be more salvation even after he came and went. Am I making sense to you? Okay. Now, it's concerning the gospel. Excuse me. For this is my covenant unto them, when they shall take away, shall future tense, take away their sins. As concerning the gospel, they are enemies for your sakes. But as touching the election, they are beloved for the Father's sakes. For the gifts and calling of God are without repentance. For as ye in times past have not believed God, and have now obtained mercy through their unbelief, even so have these also now not believed, that through the cross of Christ, is that what it says? Through the blood of the Lamb, no. What does it say? How shall they obtain mercy? Through your mercy they shall obtain mercy. For God hath concluded them all in unbelief, that he might have mercy upon all. Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God, how unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out. For who hath known the mind of God, or who hath been his counselor? Or who has first given to him, and it shall be recompensed to him again? For of him, and through him, and to him are all things. To God be the glory forever. Amen. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies wholly acceptable unto the Lord, which is your reasonable service, and be not conformed into this world, but be ye transformed in your bodies by the renewing of your minds. For if you present your bodies now and go through the transformation of your minds, then God will present his glory through your body, and you can be a part of that many-membered body called the body of Christ, which shall bring salvation to all Israel. But you cannot grant Israel mercy tonight because of your dumb head. Now, you didn't have to come here to find out you had a dumb head. Yeah, your wife knew that already. But now we're presenting our bodies to be transformed in the body through the process of the renewing of the mind, so that all Israel and Judah, talks about it, Judah here, can be saved. Because I am my brother's keeper. Well, maybe about 6,000 years ago, two brothers got in a fight. We've been fighting ever since. Arguing, fighting, complaining.
Because I'm not getting my own way.
You watch and see the next time you cry, because you're not getting your own way. You remember the last time you cried? It's because you didn't get your own way. Kind of like a piety on a pice. Do you know that when Jesus was in the garden praying, he was crying? If it's possible, let this cup pass from me. You know why he was crying? He wasn't getting his own way. Now, theologians, don't get mad at me. Just hold on and listen for a minute. Jesus said, "My soul troubleth me." Would you agree with me that Jesus was God incarnate in flesh? Would you agree with me that Jesus is God? Would you agree with me that when God put on this veil of flesh, that even God had soul trouble? And if God has soul trouble, it's no wonder I do. Because he liked it here after he found how comfortable it was in this flesh. Not that he didn't already know, but he was experiencing and enjoying it. And he said, Father, if it's possible, let's go to plan B. You got it? You know. And God said down, no, son, we have to have blast off according to schedule. He says, how are things going? And he says, Father, let's abort this plan. And he says, are things A-okay? And he says, no, things are not A-okay. Let's change. Let's go into some other system. Let's use it, another missile. They said, well, wait a minute. For this cause was I born. That's why I'm here. That's the reason, the purpose of all of this that's gone on up to now. I can't abort the plan. I got to stick with plan A. Now, if it's possible, I'd like to switch and let this cup pass from me. But since it isn't possible, nevertheless, not my, say it, will, but thy plans, thy will, plan A be done. Let's get on with it. And so he overcame, even in the soul realm. How many know that Jesus was tempted in all points like as we are, or was without sin? How many are aware of the fact that temptation is not a sin? Come on now, temptation is not a sin. There are some folks who feel condemned because they're tempted. Well, that's only because of your holiness teaching. Being tempted is not a sin, but yielding to temptation is. Dealing with the devil is not a sin. The devil tempted Jesus at least four times, and perhaps more. How many know that Jesus learned perfection through the things he suffered? Now, the word perfection may not be exactly what we're thinking of here, but maturity, or actually overcame and became one or whole in the things he suffered. Not that he was imperfect. Not that he was ever imperfect. But he became whole or one or in unity. The word perfection is unity. And so he overcame in all areas. Now we'll have a quick review. There'll be no rapture because if you get raptured, you won't go through the tribulation. If you don't go through the tribulation, you won't mature in your responsibility. If you don't mature in your responsibility, you're not going to be alive at the end of the tribulation. You'll be raptured out of it. If you go through the rapture, you cannot be a member of the Melchizedek order because people who are raptured go up to heaven. And the Melchizedek order is a power of an endless life here on earth. We have to enter this perfection on this side so that the cloud of witnesses will be perfect. The middle column, we have to enter this perfection so that you yourself can live for 1,000 years and rule and reign. And we also have to enter this perfection so that all Israel and Judah, all Israel shall be saved. Quite a destiny for the sons of God. Marvelous future for those who will overcome in every area. If it's necessary for you to die, we still love you. We'll take care of your body, do what we can for it. And I'm not mad at you if you want to die. But I don't see why you should be mad at me if I want to live. It's quite popular and everybody's dying. It's a harder job to get through this alive than it is to die. Come on. But by the grace of God and all that lies within me, I stand as a candidate for every change necessary in the soul realm so the glory of the Father can be on my physical body and be alive and remain the coming of Christ and accomplish all these things so that it will be a completion of all the prophecies. Do you remember the prophecy or the testimony in Romans chapter 8, where even the apostles the apostles, even the apostles of Jesus Christ, said, we who have the first fruits of the Spirit groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our bodies. All the apostles knew it, and they knew that they were waiting. The church lost out because for 2,000 years, the church lost this concept of faith and taught us, get ready to die. I'm not finding fault with the church because former generations were born to die. But there's a generation that's born to live. That generation needs to be taught not how to die. They need to be taught how to live. This generation is going to overcome the last enemy, which is death, will also overcome all the enemies for all the world, and all creation has been groaning for their manifestation. And now I'd like to pray for you that you will take every step that's been charted out for you in the Bible and become that many-membered Savior that shall bring all Israel into perfection, all the cloud of witnesses into perfection, and you yourself will overcome the last enemy and sit on the throne and rule and reign with Christ for 1,000 years. Would you stand with me while we pray? Father, in Jesus' name, we trust you and we believe that you're in charge of everything. We believe that you started this thing out thousands of years ago and it's all working according to your plan. Now we trust you, Lord, that in the times of fender benders of life, that each one of us will go on victoriously and not allow these situations to down us or to hurt us or to in any way affect our continued progress in you. We pray, Lord, that we'll use these fender benders of life as learning experiences to mature. And now we agree that every spirit, every heart will say yes to Jesus, that nobody will get out of this auditorium without having said yes to Jesus in their heart. We trust that each person will say yes to the Holy Ghost in their head, that the Holy Spirit will come in and bring all things to our mind that you've taught us and bring all things to our remembrance that we need to remember. We pray, Lord, the Holy Spirit will actually save our souls. And we agree that these physical bodies will stand as candidates for all the changes necessary in the physical body realm as well, so that our physical bodies will have the glory of the Father in the body changed from glory to glory, even into the same image. And now we agree that every spirit and every soul and every body shall be preserved blameless unto the coming of the Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.
For a free catalog of Bible teaching cassettes and books, send your name and address with zip code to David Ebaugh Bible School.